So, and before we get started, thank you. I've been picking on you a lot lately. I appreciate it.
No problem.
What we're going to do is talk a little about the proposal and whatnot, and hopefully more conversationally than interviewee. What I'm doing is I'm trying to have four or five of these conversations, or at least four or five people was my original plan. It might be three conversations. I'm going to take them. I'm going to probably cut them into a 15-minute podcast that I'll intro and extra and sort of talk through a little bit. And then I'll release the entire podcast or the entire recording of this conversation along with the entire recording of all the other conversations as auxiliary material. So I'm just making sure I have permission before I do that.
You do.
Sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're welcome to use any of this audio in any way you see fit for anything you'd like to do. So one of my interviewees has asked if he could publish this as a podcast on his site. That's fine with me. If you feel so inclined, help yourself. I will send you a link to the raw audio before it's published as part of the presentation in case you want to do something with it.
Okay, we'll see how it turns out first.
Fair enough. And if it totally sucks and at the end of this you're like, oh man, never mind, just say never mind and I will not use any of it. Fair enough?
Fair enough. I trust your judgment, though.
All righty. Excellent. And if I sound stupid, I can edit me out. So it'll all work
nice.
Out.
Nice.
Yeah. This is why I'm the host.
Okay.
So any questions before we get started?
No.
Excellent.
I don't think so. We'll see what happens.
Fair enough. Oh, and if you need to stop at any point, that's fine. Just let me know. We'll edit that out as well.
Okay.
All right. So, Jackie, the reason why we're here is to talk a little bit about networks and communities and online and what that does to those two things. And I'm calling this presentation the Lie of Community because I think there's a lot of misrepresentation that goes on online, not necessarily intentionally, but because I think it's just the nature of the beast. I don't think we all have our heads wrapped around how big the world is, how big our, I'm doing air quotes, networks are, and we make assumptions because we don't understand those things. But before we go any further, I was wondering if you could introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you do and how do we know each other?
We'll start with the easy one. I'm Jackie Ballerini. I am a high school math teacher, my second year teaching high school math. Prior to this, I was a special ed assistant for many, many years. As for how we know each other, do we know each other? We've never met.
What an excellent question.
Let's see. I think Twitter is how we were first, quote unquote, introduced to each other. You were actually the person who gave me the final push I needed to start blogging.
Huzzah!
Yep. And, yeah, blogging, Twitter, Plurk for a little bit. That's how we, quote unquote, know each other.
Yeah, and so let me back up a little bit further. You said you sort of emerged as a digital educator via Twitter and then moved to a blog?
I did. I was tweeting before I blogged, reading blogs first, stumbled upon Twitter, thought I would try it, wasn't sure what I had to blog about or if anyone wanted to read it, but started one anyway. Not posting as often as I'd probably like to, but teaching in grad school and family, I'll come before that at this point in my life.
Seems pretty reasonable.
So, it does.
Yeah. So, talk to me a little bit about your online network. Is it a community of people? Is it a network of people? What does it look like? And what do you think of it as? Or do you think of it?
Community is interesting. Community to me means there's some shared experiences, shared goals, shared beliefs and values. among other things.
Mm-hmm.
My online life isn't all of who I am. It's not all of my teaching. It's not all of my education experience. It's definitely part of it. But it's very separate from my daily life. You said as an ed tech person, I don't consider myself an ed tech person.
Did I say ed tech?
Maybe, or I think you did.
That's interesting. I'll go back and listen. I don't tend to use that phrase, so that's interesting. Okay.
My classes aren't blogging. We're not using too many online tools. In some ways, I have a very traditional classroom in terms of not having an online presence in my class. In some ways, it's a very untraditional classroom in the type of curriculum we use, but that's a whole nother story.
You teach IMP, is that right?
Yes, an integrated math program. Okay. Actually, it's the interactive mathematics program. But it's a reform curriculum, lots of group work, very constructivist philosophy. So in that way, it's untraditional.
Okay.
And now I've forgotten what the last question was.
Well, let me ask this question. You said that your online life and your offline life are pretty separate, and that a lot of what you do, I mean, what brings you to Twitter and to blogging then as a teacher? Or do those things bring you to blog? I don't know.
They do. Most of the blogs to which I subscribe are math teachers. So I go there to get ideas about lesson planning, what other people are doing in their class, what's working for them, what's not working. I have a smattering of other things to which I subscribe. Design, ed tech, political events, just to keep myself somewhat well-rounded. What brings me online is I don't have time to have those conversations about what we do and why we do it during the day, because I'm in my class actually teaching. So Twitter and blogs and RSS feeds and comments give me a place to have those conversations.
Seems reasonable. Would you say that you are in community, again, air quotes, with the people that you read or that you interact with on Twitter or Plurk?
An online community? Sure. A network, I think, more describes it. I don't think I see all of everyone with whom I interact, nor do they see all of me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't communicate as freely online as I can with people in real life due to student confidentiality issues, things that just aren't my stuff to make public.
And it sounds like you're saying those things are important, so you aren't in like full community with folks because of those limitations?
That's part of it. And part of it is, you know, 140 characters here and there can't really describe someone's full day or what's really going on with them, in my opinion, at least. So do I joke around and have running jokes with people? Yes. Participate in Steve Dembo's Secret Santa, harass people about the Cubs versus the Sox, link to cool tools, do all that kind of stuff. Do I learn from them? Yes, which is why I keep coming back. Do I have fun? Yes. Is it a community in the sense that we all have the same goals? Maybe. I'm not sure sometimes.
Do you think all communities have shared goals, though?
That's a good question.
I mean, I think about, like, the town that I live in does not consist of a bunch of people that all have the same goals. But that's a, quote, community. The schools that I have taught in and worked in while the teachers may have thought everybody had a shared goal, I don't know that all the kids would have agreed with that. So I don't know if that necessarily needs to be in a air quote community.
Interesting. I guess in terms, if you define community as people interacting, yes, it's a community. Is it, and do we ever truly know someone, even the people we know in real life? No, I only see faces of the people I work with.
Sure.
Facets of their persona. So I'm not sure how online is different, but to me, I guess it is. I also haven't attended too many conferences, so I haven't met a lot of people in real life to make those real life connections. I'm not sure if that's a factor or not.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't think so. I think it can make a difference. I don't think it's the defining difference.
No. And there are certainly people in my network that I feel closer to, or I feel like I know better. I don't claim to know all 200 of the people I follow or the blogs to that I subscribe to.
Sure. Do you think that other teachers would make those claims, that's something that they would say, that they're in community with folks? Or, I mean, it seems to me like it's sort of the nature of this presentation, right? The nature of the reason for this conversation is it seems to me like a lot of folks think the only difference is we're interacting virtually. And I don't know if that's true. What do you think?
I think it might depend on the degree of interaction. If my class were collaborating with another class and we were working together on projects, would that change my perception? It might. I don't know how other people see their communities or their online networks, which is why I'm interested in hearing the rest of the podcasts.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. Would you say that there is a shared culture in your network? And actually, I think I know what you would say to this, because you've already sort of spoken to, like, you gave some examples, like Steve Dimbo's, what was it? Christmas Friends?
Something like that.
Secret Elves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was something politically correct. I don't remember what he called it.
Okay, fair enough. And some of those other things, like, you would probably say there are some shared values in your network, or some shared culture. How does that stuff get propagated? I mean, like, where are the boundaries of this online community?
That's something I'm still trying to figure out. When I first started a little over a year and a half ago, I had absolutely no clue. I think I learned it first by lurking, reading blogs, reading comments, trying to figure out how this whole thing worked. Deciding what felt right for me, if someone was saying something that didn't seem to fit with what I believed, whether it was using inappropriate language in their tweets or talking about things that I just didn't want to hear about, I chose not to interact with them. Not that that happened too often. There was no manual. There was no how-to guide. I didn't get a mentor for this is how you interact in an online community. I think it just sort of evolves.
So for you, the experience has sort of been the manual.
Yes, it has. Certainly no one in my real life or in the school in which I work introduced me to it. I just stumbled upon things. And I guess was willing to take a risk and try it out.
Can you remember what the first stumble was?
Yep. I was student teaching. and just wanted to see what other people were doing to get other ideas. So I Googled math blogs and found a couple that seemed to provide what I needed, gave me ideas about lesson plans, structuring classrooms. Read for a couple of months before I got up the courage to leave a comment, which I laugh at now. And it slowly, actually not so slowly, grew from there. So I was looking for a need to be filled.
So whether or not you think your online community, I'm sorry, air quote community, is a community, you were seeking community.
Yes, I was.
Okay. Yeah. See, I think that's interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, and good point. And I guess it is fulfilling a need, or I wouldn't still be here.
Yeah, when I started to have these conversations and to start thinking about this, what I wanted to talk about with folks was this nature of we believe we have a shared experience, but we don't have a shared experience. And that's ultimately dangerous. But what I'm finding as I talk to folks is that we have a shared experience, and while there are limits to it, it seems like it's really, really valuable. So what I thought was going to be a bunch of conversations about the sort of the dangers in believing you are in community with folks, I'm starting to think that maybe this is a series of conversations about the value of being in community. With some gentle reminders about the places where I call them illusions are. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Because there are definitely things that I've gotten from online that I use in my teaching and have brought to my school, and others are using. And I guess I keep coming back, so I think there are different sub-communities, though, within the community.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think there is a community. I mean, I won't hedge on that. So there's certainly subgroups. What are some of the ones that you see? Or can you point some out? I don't want to put you on that, like, the gossip spot. Call somebody out.
Yes. No, I won't be doing that.
Good.
I tend to leave different types of comments depending on the blog it is. Mm-hmm. If it's another math teacher blog, very different comments than someone who I consider the ed tech people. And I know you don't like that label, but that's how it works in my mind.
Sure.
Or the blog of the, you know, family who's blogging about whatever. So, just like I have different conversations with my coworkers when my students are present or when my students aren't present. Or I have different types of conversations with my family than I do with my boss. It depends. We all wear different faces at different times.
So I'm curious, what's different about, say, a math comment as opposed to an ed tech comment?
Well, yeah, I can leave really geeky math comments that about, I don't know, trying to teach factoring.
Okay, so like
about specific concepts that
inside poly stuff.
Yeah, okay. That I wouldn't leave on someone else's post that it had nothing to do with.
Well, that makes sense. I just wondered if there was a different tone. Like, you know, people talk about wearing hats of expertise. Do you wear a different hat, or do you even wear a hat of expertise when you are on some blogs as opposed to other blogs?
I wouldn't say expertise. I feel freer to jump into math conversations than I do to ed policy conversations.
Okay. Why is that?
That's a good question. I'm more familiar and more comfortable with math ed and math than I am with educational policy.
It makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because so many, of the ed tech people, air quotes, right, would say that, and I don't know if I'm one of those people or not, but would say that one of the reasons why they blog, I think, is to be more transparent about their policy and what's going on. So if the end result is that people are nervous about commenting or talking, then what value was the transparency? And I'm not trying to generalize your experience for everybody, but I don't think you're the only person that feels that way.
Probably not. Is there purpose transparency in getting everyone to participate in the conversation?
Well, what might you believe the purpose? Obviously, there's multiple purposes.
Multiple, and I'm not trying to pin anyone down to any one. Heck, half the time I don't know my own motivations, let alone anyone else's.
Sure.
Sometimes I get the message that it's tech for the purpose of tech, without thinking about the larger educational goal. Not all the time, but sometimes.
I'm choosing my non-words very carefully, right? No, I mean, I think there's some truth to that. I think one of the shared goals or shared purposes that I have with some of the folks online that I tend to resonate with is the idea that sometimes the technology should be put away and locked in a drawer because we don't really need it right now. So I know what you're saying.
And I'm not saying not to use technology. I'm saying decide what your goal is and what best suits that goal at that moment for your students.
Right. Be thoughtful about it, right?
Yep. Totally. Yeah.
Crazy idea. Okay. It'll never work. So if you were talking to teachers, and I don't know, maybe you do talk to teachers about the value of being online or well, would you say you have a personal learning network? That's a term that gets bandied about a lot.
I haven't quite figured out what that term means.
What do you think it means?
I'm not sure. Do I have a personal learning network? I don't know. To me, it feels like that should be the Verizon people all waiting in my yard for me at any time.
Okay. The World Book Encyclopedia people, right?
Right. I think so. There are people's blogs that I read first and people that I will send an email to if I have questions. People that I get more responses from than others. Do I learn from everyone? Yes, to varying degrees. Do I talk to other teachers about being online? Yes.
Go ahead.
I try and find something that fits what they need and what they're willing to do right now. I haven't found too much of an interest from anyone in my school. I haven't pushed it very hard. My focus right now is concentrating on my students in my classroom, which takes up the majority of my day.
Sure.
So when it comes up in conversation, yes. I've done a quote-unquote Web 2.0 presentation for the people at school. I've gotten some interest. We'll see where it goes. I'm not going to shove anything down anyone's throat that they're not ready to use, because that would be counterproductive.
Do you think it's a teacher's place to be helping kids to create their personal learning networks?
I don't think it's out of place. I just sometimes wonder when during the day do you have time to get this done? Lots of focused on meeting standards and meeting goals. And that takes time to do. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, but I think it depends on the culture of the building that you're in as to whether or not that's something that's valued.
So it sounds like you're saying that's not really a value of your school community right now.
No, not right now.
And I don't know if it should be. I know there's a big push in a lot of what I'm reading that teachers need to be the catalysts for students to be online and learning and building networks. And I'm not sure if that's always true.
My students have their online networks. And we've talked about, you know, they're on MySpace and mostly Facebook and the other mediums they use to communicate. They don't want their teachers there. I have a few students with whom I communicate outside of school. Most of my other students think that's strange. Fine. I'm not going to force a community that they don't want to willingly participate in.
Why is that?
If someone tried to make me participate in something I didn't want to, I'm not sure how invested I would be in it.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I was talking to somebody today, and they asked me what I thought the biggest problem with like Web 2.0 in the classroom was. And I said something to the effect that it's that we're trying to ask the Web 2.0 in the classroom question. Like, I feel like one of the worst things that we can do to a lot of the collaboration and conversation that's going on in our society right now is to, like, schoolify it.
Yep.
Like, make it fake.
I'm going to make a rubric and assess you on how well you're using this tool.
Yeah, exactly. And now your interactions with other human beings, and we've always done this in school. We do it in group work, and I'm guilty of it, but we assess people's interactions with other people on like a 10-point scale. And so they get an 8 if they had a bad day with their parents because they didn't get their full 10. I don't know. It's just it seems like that's really problematic, and most of the value in my online work and my online networks and my online interactions has been that it was my choice to do it.
Exactly. And it was the intrinsic motivation.
Right.
Which I think is important for any learning.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. And I don't know how to build that at school. And that's probably another conversation. But
And I do talk to my kids about their online presence and RSS feeds and different ways to use the web. Is it my main focus? No. When it comes up naturally, we talk about it.
Hmm. All right, before I get way far off in a different direction, so a couple more questions, and I appreciate all your time. So one of the things that I think is really interesting is in how people define who they would consider part of their network. So what to you would, I mean, how do you make those decisions about, not just about, you know, who do you follow and what don't you follow? Cause you mentioned that a little bit earlier, but how do you sort of decide this is part of my network? This is what I am into, not into, that's not coming out right. But do you understand the question? Save me from myself.
I think so. Are you talking about like what? Which people I would define as my network, or which tools, or actually, I'm not clear on the question at all.
Uh huh. No, I think both of those are legitimate. Like, actually, they're both the question. If you were to take a picture, you know, or to make one of the things that the folks who've been taking the creating the constructivism or connective constructivist class. The very large class that Stephen Towns and George Simmons are doing.
yes.
whose name I can't remember right now. One of the first things they did is they, and I thought this was really interesting, they had the, have you been following that?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the first things they had folks do was sort of map their network. What would your map look like?
Ooh. My initial thought was a bunch of concentric circles, but then I realized that's not right. Because some of those circles overlap. It would be like a... Now I'm getting math geeky. Okay.
No, please do.
Graph theory, a bunch of connected dots.
Okay.
And some may have more connections to other dots than others, and some might be farther apart. And I don't think it's static. I think it changes based upon what I'm doing and what I need, and what other people are doing and what they need.
So how do other people and their needs influence your network?
When other people have had a request of me, if it's reasonable and I feel like I can legitimately help, I do. And I think that builds connections.
Okay, got it. I see what you're talking about.
So someone recently needed help with some statistics on a dissertation. Helped with that. I now feel like I know this person better because we had that experience of working through that together. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. Like if somebody asked you to, say, assist with a pseudo conference, say.
Exactly. I might feel like I get to know that person better through that interaction.
K12onlineconference.org, say, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Also
on Twitter, not K-12 online.
There you go. Yeah, something like that. Right. Makes sense. Okay. So you said a graph. So graph theory, I'm rusty on math because I am, but I'm assuming that we're talking points, and you said connections across the points, probably on three axes.
Yeah, and I would think it would be 3D and shifting and rotating.
It would cost a lot to produce for cable television is what I think I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Excellent. How do you, what advice do you have for other folks who are trying to build networks? What should they be doing? What should they be thinking about? What should they watch out for? What are their pitfalls? What should they be worried about? I asked a lot of questions there.
Yes, you did.
Let's start with good advice, and then we'll go to... what should they avoid?
Look for people who are doing good things that you think are worthwhile to do. Follow them, read their blogs, leave comments, ask questions. Learn from them. People with whom you find a connection in something they've done or something they're thinking about. Start small. I wouldn't start, I'm suddenly going to have a 500 person personal learning network.
Do you think people do that?
I don't know. I would hope that it would grow organically over time. I know mine has. I don't know if some people in the rush to jump in, they're at a conference and suddenly they're going to follow 100 people on Twitter and subscribe to all of these RSS feeds, and suddenly they're overwhelmed. I can see that happening in the initial rush of, ooh, this looks cool, I want to try it. I'd say start slowly. Go in the shallow end, but don't be afraid to swim.
Okay. What should folks watch out for? I mean, what you mentioned overcrowding, overdoing it. What else?
Hmm. I would say be careful at pushing for instant relationships. And I'm not sure that people do this, but I could see it happening. And I'm probably thinking more of my students right now. Taking the time to get to know someone, figuring out what those norms are of that community, quote unquote, if they exist.
No, I think grown-ups do that, or misdo that. They do assume a relationship. I think that's one of the other people that I'm talking to for this series. I don't want to tell their story for a bunch of reasons, but I think would say that people have made that mistake or misstep and assumed too much of a relationship that consisted of, as you said earlier, 140 characters and some blog comments.
Right. Yeah, it is what it is, and things can evolve, and you certainly never know where relationships can go, but interaction doesn't necessarily mean a relationship.
Do you think there's some danger in echo chambery communities? I mean, you mentioned earlier that one of the things you look for is folks with whom you agree or have some sort of a connection to, I think ideologically, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but do you think there's some echo chamber danger in there, or am I oversimplifying your decision-making process?
Nope, you're just helping me clarify it, as usual. I think that's entirely possible if you only read things that you're comfortable or interact with people who completely agree with you, you never learn and grow. Which is why I try and have a little variety. And I still read the stuff with which I don't necessarily fully agree or fully believe in, but I'm willing to keep an open mind. And I've learned a lot of great things that way.
I have a folder of the stuff that I know will really upset me so that I can go right to it. I probably shouldn't share that, but maybe I'll edit this out, but I do. I have a folder of the stuff that I know will make me irate, and I read that, you know, whenever I need a toothpick to the gums, if you will.
Nice.
Yeah, well, no, I just, I hadn't really thought about that in a while. I know what I'm doing after this conversation. No.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else you want to say about communities and networks, or... do we have communities and networks? Are they the same thing? Are they different? What should people be thinking about?
I think, again, it all depends on how you define it.
And how do you define it?
That's a great question. I'm still trying to figure that out 39 minutes later.
Uh-huh. We call this wait time.
Yeah, you're good at that. And there could be communities, I guess. Are they as large as people think they are? I don't know. I think they change more quickly online, too, than they do in real life.
How so?
The variety of people and the sheer number of people with whom I can interact online... there's no way I would get that date in my day-to-day life. So I might be reading comments on a blog and run across three new voices. And I can go to their blog and read what they've written and get to know that part of them in a matter of minutes. In real life, those interactions, those chance interactions, don't happen as often. At least not in my life, when I'm in my classroom all day and go to grad school and come home and do laundry. And...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Jackie. I appreciate the time.
Not a problem, bud.
Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm interested in hearing what others have to say.
All right.
And how they react to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.